Well, welcome to Cowboy Church, Williamson County Cowboy Church this morning. And it's been a crazy week, y'all, hadn't it? I mean, I quit watching the news for a while, and then all this stuff happened again. And it's like, man, what is going on? I mean, we had the Las Vegas thing, and I mean, then the London, another thing there. And I mean, the devil, if we know, we know where it's coming from. The devil's upset because people are turning to God. People are wanting to know the truth in the way, in the light. And so what's happening is the devil's mad. He's ticked off. And so he's trying to cause things that make us stop and think. You stop and you look at the news. You know, because I did quit watching the news. I got tired. Oh, my gosh. I tell you. The news was, oh, it's this or that or the other, and political news. But after that happened in Las Vegas, I watched the news a little bit just to see, you know. And one thing that you look at and you see is, who do you trust? You know, who do you trust? You look at that and it happens, and the news is reporting this, and then you hear people going, yucka, tucka, 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 tucka. Who do you listen to? What are you seeing? You know, do you believe what you see? Because we know that we're not supposed to wrestle with flesh and blood, right? Right. And what do we see? And I thought about this. It really brought a story back that when I was growing up, I was learning to play the fiddle. And there was a guy over in Gatesville that I saw his widow a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't seen her in 25 years. Man, it blessed my heart to see her. But old Bill, he was a retired colonel out of the Air Force. At 50 years old, he was a full bird colonel. I mean, he'd seen everything. He flew fighter pilot in the Korean War. He flew rescue helicopter in Vietnam. If you don't know anything, that's where they fly in when they've shot down our pilots. And they don't go get that guy. Because he knows that the U.S., we go get our people. So he's the helicopter that flew in, dropped his line, and had to sit there while they shot at him and bring him out of there. So this is the kind of guy he was. And after he retired, he let his hair grow down to here. And he had a curly goatee and a curly mustache. Looked like Wild Bill Hickok or Buffalo Bill. And that's what they called him, was Wild Bill Lyle. He played the guitar, and man, what a good guy. Man, he told me more stories, and I learned so much from that man. And what I see nowadays is Bill was a prankster, okay? And one time I was down there staying with him, and he caught a scorpion. And I'd been in the house, and I come out, and he was in his garage out at his work table. And he had this scorpion, and it was still alive. He didn't kill it. He caught it. And he had this pocket knife. I said, what are you doing? He said, watch. Strung that tail out there, that scorpion. He cut off the tip of the tail. And he took a paper clip and he glued the tip back on the paper clip, stuck the paper clip back down in the scorpion's tail, and you couldn't tell that paper clip was in there. And he opens his pocket and he puts it in his pocket and said, let's go to town. What? First place we go is the barbershop. Because you know all them old guys is in there at the barbershop and everybody's going to talk. And Bill walks in. Hey, how are y'all? I want you all to meet my friend Ricky. Hi, guys. I'm 17 years old, okay? I'm impressionable. I mean, I'm learning things. Bill takes that scorpion out of his pocket, and those old guys get their eyes get this big. And he puts that scorpion in his hand, and that scorpion's doing this. And Bill's going, you got to be tough to take that. Puts it in his pocket, and we leave. Y'all understand where I'm getting at? Because if you trusted what you saw, you would have thought that he was standing there taking that scorpion sting. You see? But are we trusting what we see? Are we trusting in the one true God that we know is real? And that he sent his son to die for us? That's who we need to learn to trust. Right? We don't need to trust what we see. That scorpion, it was dead. The tail was, and once he cut that tip off, it was gone. But if you didn't know it, he could still move it with that paper clip in there. And I tell you, them guys that do, we went into four or five different stores, him doing that. He put it in his pocket and we'd leave. Who do you trust? That's the name of this message this morning. Who do you trust? And we're going to go to Judges today. You know, in the Bible, God used a lot of people. And I kind of equate it to like with Peter and, you know, David and Noah. Those were kind of the A-listers of the Bible, right? I mean, those were the big names. But God also used people that weren't the A-listers. You know, he used just everyday people. And I use that term lightly because aren't we everyday people? Yeah, we are. We can be used by God. But the thing that I have learned, that I am a child of the Most High God. So you see, I'm not just a common person, and neither are every one of you. You're a child of the Most High God. So when somebody calls you a common person, say, no. I'm uncommon. I'm uncommon. I'm the child of the Most High God. So we're going to talk about a guy that really he only appears in a couple of chapters, but God used him in a mighty way. So we're going to start in Judges. We're going to be in Judges 6. Say amen when you get there. Amen. If you're not there, say, oh my. I kind of heard, Was that an oh my or a mm? All right. So in Judges 6, I'm just going to catch you up. I'm not going to read a bunch of, because there's a couple of chapters I want to try to get through. And so I think we've got till 6 this evening. So somebody bring lunch. But in Judges 6, Israel, up until this time, they had been enjoying the good life. Man, they had been, everything was rosy. I mean, the bills were all paid. The wife was happy. The kids were happy. You know when the wife and the kids are happy, everything's good. I mean, a shekel of gold, the rock market was up. Well, they didn't have stock market back then, so. You know, thank y'all that laughed at that. I appreciate it. So. But that's what they measured gold back then, was a shekel. So a shekel of gold was really good. Everybody had a new camel or two in their driveway, you know. So Israel was doing a lot like what happens to us when things are going good. You know, when we get to going good, sometimes we forget how we got there. You know, they forgot how they got there. And all of a sudden, God allows the Midianites to come in and take over Israel for 7 years. I mean, the Midianites were ugly people. I mean, they wait till harvest time. They'd come down there every year and tear up the town. They'd have a big time. They'd kill everything. And what they couldn't kill, they'd tear up and destroy it. And I mean, the Israelites are kind of like, well, what did we do? You know, what's happening here? So I want to pick up in verse 6. Verse 6 says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Don't we get that way sometime? You know, when as Israel was doing so great and everything's going on, man, and then all heck breaks loose. And we're like, where did that come from? You see, we get going really good, and then we forget about we haven't been praying. We haven't been reading. Not like we used to. You know, when things are going so good that God's kind of have been a second thought. Well, that's what happened, is the Midianites come in after 7 years, and they're taking over. And now, here the Israelites are hollering out for help, just like that. You see, they're going, God, what happened? Help us. And They're thinking that God's left them. That God's left them. I've got six things that I want y'all to take away from this today. Number one, it's all right, baby. It gets better as we go. Number one, during tough times, trust God. Now, when things get bad, I've done it. Y'all know me when I preach. I use myself as an example. I'm not afraid to tell you I've messed up. It's just the way it is. That's how we learn. But when things are going bad sometime, we try to fix it ourselves, don't we? Oh, I can do this. You know, I got it. It's good. It's good. Oh, wait a minute. I'll go do this, or I'll, you know, I can fix this, or my wife's mad at me. I can fix this. I can fix my kids. I can fix that bank account that's not there. I can fix my health. But after a while, when you haven't really fixed anything, what do? You draw near to God. You trust God. You see, over everything that we do, we can trust God. It's just like what happened in Las Vegas. I looked at that on Monday, and I'm watching the TV, and y'all hear this first. You may want to write this down. I'm actually going to say something good about the news. One morning, I think it was Tuesday morning, and I watched the Today Show, I think, part of the time. I don't even care for that show anymore. I mean, I don't care if they're liberal, but they used to kind of give you a kind of a balanced view most of the time. But Tuesday morning, they did a whole story on the good. The good. They chose not to focus on, and I saw the interview. Man, did any of you see the interview with the mayor of Las Vegas? Oh, Jesus, that was good, wasn't it? Because of that, isn't it her name, Savannah? The news lady. Yeah, and she goes, well, Mayor, what do you think about that guy? And tell us more about him. And she goes, I'm not giving him the breath that I'm speaking right now. I'm going to talk about the people of Las Vegas and how good that they did. And the people that saved lives, that laid on top of everybody else. I'm going to talk to you about our first responders. I'm going to talk to you about, and then they went on. Man, what an answer. What an answer that somebody had the guts to say, you know what? I'm not going to talk about that scumbag. I'm not going to talk about that jerk. I'm going to talk about what we really are. And man, if she'd have preached just a little bit more and thrown in an amen and, we're the children of the Most High God, it'd have been really good. Because I was ready to preach after her, after she talked. You see, I watched, and that one guy, his name was, I believe, James. And he saved two or three people getting them over a concrete wall, and he got shot. And they helped him over the wall. And then a guy, and I saw this later, he stole a pickup. A Marine stole a pickup, come by picking people up, taking them to the hospital. Woo, Jesus. Now that's a godly man right there. I don't care. And then the guy named Tom, who helped James after James had been shot, they'd already put a tourniquet on the guy's leg and it wasn't right. So Tom put the right kind of tourniquet on there and saved the man's life, or he'd have bled out before he got to the hospital.
Because that all, who do you trust?
Was caused by the devil is bad and God is good. It was caused by the devil. But what does God do during times of trials and tribulation? Just like we have in our lives, what do you choose to do? Do you choose to follow God? Do you choose to call to God and say, man, I need your help? Don't you know there was some serious praying that night and the next day? I even read a story about a young man that was agnostic. He said, I'm not anymore. He said, there has to be a God for me to live through what I just lived through. Man, come on, y'all. That's good stuff. But so when we get in those times of trials and tribulations, what do you choose to do? Because the Word says, it doesn't say that we're not going to. We are going to go through trials and tribulations. But how do you choose to go through those trials and tribulations? That's what makes the difference. You see, those people in that very instant, I guarantee you they were praying to God. They were. And I'll bet you money that there were a lot of people that were saved that day. That very night, God works in those situations. So do you choose to look at what the devil did? Or do you choose to look what God did? Our Almighty God. Man, He's good. So I choose to trust God. Amen? You know, y'all know that when I preach, I do stories sometimes. And I've been reading a book. And I know how Howdy likes books. If you hadn't read this book, you ought to get it. It's How I Made It All and Gave It All Away and Got It Back. And it's by David Green, that is the founder of Hobby Lobby. And I read, you know, Hobby Lobby started in Hobby Lobby in 1970 with $600. Him and another guy, they had to get together to get $600. And they started the business in a garage. And he paid his little kids, he had three kids, probably about some of y'all's age, and he had them putting together many picture frames in the garage, paid them 7 cents a frame. That's how they got their candy money. Now, they estimate his business is at billions of dollars. However, they give away hundreds of millions of dollars for God's work. Now, the point of this is trusting God. This is a man that trusts God because they got sued because of their Christian values. They got sued over that one pill that could possibly be life terminating. They said, we will not supply it for our employees. They have went from like 6-7 people in the garage to 32,000 employees. And when all that started, he said, we called a meeting. When we first started, it was just me and my wife, and there was about four of us meeting. But now his kids, his grandkids, they called a meeting this was going to the Supreme Court. This is a potential losing their whole business. And if not, they were facing up to $1.3 million a day in fines. And he said, we had a meeting. We founded this company on God, and that's what we're going to do is we're going to seek God. We're going to trust God. You know what? And he said that we put a sign up, the God we serve will deliver us. And guess what? He did. They beat that lawsuit because that man has trusted God with his business. That man chose to follow God all his life. His dad was a preacher. His mom was in the ministry. His brothers and sisters were pastors or teachers. He was the only one that wasn't in the ministry. And he said he called mom. He called mom and said, he worked for, how many of you remember TGNY? I grew up, that was our Walmart back in the day. Love TGNY. Well, he started working for TGNY. And he'd call his mama and say, mom, I got promoted to store manager. She goes, oh, that's good, David. But what did you do for the Lord today? He said, my mom didn't live to actually see what they built. He said, but I know she knows. He said, but you can serve the Lord. Y'all listen to me. You can serve the Lord no matter what capacity you're in. He said, whether you're in retail or whether you're in the ministry. You see, he chose that retail. He loved it. He said, man, that was me. I loved it. And when you're doing the job that you're called to do, woo, Jesus, it's a good thing. So you see what I'm saying is he trusted God with his whole business. Who do you trust? Okay. We're good. Well, I'm going to introduce you to the star of our show this morning. And it's actually not a show. It's the truth. I'm going to introduce you to a man named Gideon. Now, Gideon was really nothing special. Gideon was a man that was pretty much fearful. He was nothing exciting about him, you know? I mean, and during this time when they were afraid of the Midianites, when the Midianites had come down, Gideon even would hide to thresh the wheat. You see, they used to thresh wheat outside where the wind would blow and get rid of all the trash. They called it the chaff. It depends on how you pronounce C-H, but I call it chaff, you call it chaff, whatever. So he would hide and use a wine press so that the Midianites couldn't see what he was doing. Doesn't sound like a very bold and manly kind of guy, does it? Because he's fearful of what that they will do. Okay? So let's look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. Now, I find that the angel of the Lord calling him a mighty man of valor. Don't you know that Gideon, he's the one that's been hiding doing stuff. And the angel of the Lord appears beside him and he says, thy mighty man of valor. Don't you know Gideon's going, where? What? Who, me? You're talking to me? You see, because Gideon didn't have that boldness about him. He didn't have that confidence. They were beat down at the time. You see, the Midianites had done a number on him, and he was beat down. So Gideon starts talking to the angel of the Lord, and he starts questioning, why? Why did you let this happen to us? You know, we were doing really well, and then all of a sudden, you let this start happening. Y'all ever done that? Good things going, and then you go, God, what happened? So Gideon's not really sure that he's talking to the angel of the Lord. You see, Gideon even argues with the angel of the Lord and tells him, man, my family no count. I come from a poor family. And then he even puts himself down and says, I'm the least one of the family. Now, but right here, the angel of the Lord has called him a mighty man of valor. What's happening is God's already seeing what he's planning on happening and using Gideon to do. You see? So number two, we have to remember that God sees more than us. You see, we think we see it, but we don't see what God sees. God's talking to Gideon, who's just a lowly little old dude, hiding out, threshing wheat, and he sends an angel of the Lord to call him a mighty man of valor. Let's jump to verse 17. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with as one man. I'm sorry, I missed. As talkest with me. Now, so Gideon had been arguing, and God told him that I'm going to use you. The angel of the Lord told Gideon, I'm going to use you to save Israel. So Gideon's talking right here going, okay, if you're really here, then I want a sign. Give me a sign. So Gideon goes in and says, don't run off. Don't run off. Stay right here. I'm going to go in. He goes in. He prepares some goat meat, a little unleavened bread and some broth. Brings it back. Angel of the Lord says, tells him to put it over here. And the angel of the Lord takes the staff, touches it, and it goes, boom, it's gone. He's got Gideon's attention. You see, the angel of the Lord just proved that he'd been talking to him. You see? Do y'all ever ask for a sign? Have you ever asked for a sign? Man, I have. And when you ask for a sign from God, you better be prepared. Oh, some of you have been there, haven't you? When you ask for a sign from God, I need help. I need a sign. Give me a sign. Any sign. He will. Are you willing to accept the sign that God gives you? You see, look at verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Whew. So God's comforting Gideon right here. Because he's like, whoa, man. That was God. That was God. Third thing I want you to know. Learn to know it's God talking to us. We have the Holy Spirit inside us. We have to learn to use that. You have to learn to hear it. I had a pastor at the Cowboy Church we went to in West Texas, and he always said one thing: you know in your knower. Your knower. And he'd always point right here. You know in your knower. That's when you have that feeling. That's the Holy Spirit. Some people hear. Some people just, you know, one thing that I always tell people is, these ideas that I've had that were good ideas, that wasn't from me. I'm not smart enough to do that. That's from God. He's giving us witty ideas. He gives us how to solve problems. But then how many know people that go, "Oh, well, I did that"? Mm-mm. That's from God. Are you in tune to hear and know with your knower that that's God talking to you? That God's, the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you where he wants you to go. God is asking a lot of Gideon right here. He's stretching Gideon, okay? He's asking, and once that Gideon realizes that that's really, he'd been hearing from the Lord, God asked him, said, "I want you to go down and I want you to tear up that altar of Baal." Now, Baal was a god. And the town people and Gideon's dad, they had built this. And there was a grove next to this altar of Baal that they built. God's telling him, "I want you to go down and I want you to tear that down. And I want you to tear down the grove and I want you to build a new altar." Plus, not only that, but they had a bull. A prize bull. "I want you to get that bull and I want you to do a burnt offering to me." Okay, so you have to stop and think about
this guy that was not real
exciting and bold. Here God's telling him in the first place, "I want you to go tear that down." And this is something that the townspeople worshiped. How do you think Gideon's stomach was feeling about then? You know, he probably wasn't real excited at that point. You see, not only was he supposed to tear it down, he was supposed to cut that grove down, but then, and do an offering, and then he was supposed to build an altar to the Lord. So what does Gideon do? Gideon does it at nighttime. And it makes me stop and think about us as young Christians, and not age-wise, but maturity-wise, as we learn in our walk and how we grow. I remember that. I remember when I was younger in my walk, you see, that I was afraid to just say Jesus out loud. I mean, you know, when you met somebody, I was afraid to tell them about Jesus. Well, that's what Gideon's going through right now. Gideon's going through that point of God's stretching him, you see. God's going, "Go do this. Go tear it down." And you really get to do it good, because you get to sacrifice that bull that they love. You see, so Gideon takes 10 men and he goes down and he tears the altar down, cuts the grove down, takes the bull, and does exactly what the Lord asked. Man. Now that took some gumption. Even at nighttime, Gideon did that. Next day, the men of the town are mad. They are ticked off. And they hear that it was Gideon. So they talked to Gideon's dad and said, you need to go get him so we can kill him. And Gideon's dad was one of the ones that worshiped Baal. But all of a sudden, he says, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And I like this. Stop and think about it. He said, if Baal is the God, have him come defend himself. Oh, what's happening not only to Gideon, but what's happening to his family? You see, God starts working over here just that quick. And his family is starting to line up too. So what happened is, right here is, God's cleaning up Gideon. You see, God's preparing Gideon for what he has for him to do to save Israel. The next thing that I want is numbers is four. The fourth thing is clean up your house. I don't mean going vacuum and all that stuff. You know, when a lot of you know, some of you don't, but when I was in Branson before we moved down here, I was in the entertainment business. And I was with the Sons of the Pioneers. And after Corey had prayed with us, probably shouldn't have done that. Just be right. Corey married, he did the service for Alyssa and Chance's wedding. And at that wedding, he kept on all day. Even when Glenn Smith, who's Corey's spiritual father, used to bring Corey and Jamie up to Branson to see us. Glenn and I were really good friends. We'd known each other a long time and gone to church together in West Texas. And so Corey would go, you need to move back to Texas and run the music at church. I'm good. Everything's good. And he just kept on. When he did Chance and Alyssa's wedding in Weatherford, I drove down and so he was still, you know, had dinner, lunch at the table and visiting. He's just kind of, y'all know Corey. He just kept on. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what, Laurie and I'll go with you and Jamie when they were leaving. And I said, we'll walk y'all to the car and we'll pray about it. So the four of us prayed together. Whoops. You see, Corey knew where I was supposed to be because God was leading Corey. Ricky hadn't had the light shown yet. And I honestly believe I think my wife knew too. Well, she usually does about 6 months before I do, so. Men, you know what I'm talking about too, right? So they leave and I go back. I didn't have bad language, but I'd let one fly every now and then. I worked around musicians. Oh my gosh, those guys talk worse than sailors. They can say things you can't imagine. And so I go back and I notice myself going, don't say that. I'm like, what was that? You know? And I believe me, I knew God. Man, I used to go to church in West Texas and we never found a church home in Branson. And so the Holy Spirit's really starting to deal with me. It's really aggravating, you know? Because we're in the green room and you're listening to five other grown men talk like sailors. And if y'all ever been around people that talk that way, what happens? It's like your little kids that are around it. When you say something, you hear it again, don't you? So the Holy Spirit going, you need to stop. You need to fix that. I'm like, where's this coming from? I mean, I knew it was for the Holy Spirit, but I'm like, why are you doing this to me? Bless you. And then I also enjoyed scotch in the evening time. After I would get off at the show, see, I only work 2 hours a day. It's a good life. 6 days a week. 6 months out of the year. And then we were on the road playing some. But so I'd go to work at 4:15 in the afternoon, on stage at 5, off at 7, home at 7:15. Had a hot tub in the back, big screen TV in the backyard. And I'd watch the Texas Rangers play baseball. And I'd have a little glass of scotch there. Sometime I might have two. And I didn't drink the cheap scotch. It was $50 a bottle. Bless you. And that started tasting bad. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not funny now. This is not funny. Because it was like a brand new bottle. And I had one glass. And I'm going, I poured it out, and I fixed me another one. I thought, maybe this one will taste better. I don't know. It's like, golly. That moment, it dawned that I was supposed to not be doing that anymore. You see, God started cleaning me up. And that's what's happening with Gideon right here. You see, God said that you have a different place you're supposed to be soon. And so I poured a $50 bottle of scotch down the sink. I'm like, golly. He was cleaning house is what he was doing. He was cleaning my house. And sometimes it's not near as much fun when God cleans your house as it is when he's cleaning somebody else's house. Right? Yeah, because those things kind of smart. And so you see, I quit doing that. And I quit talking that way. And that's what God's doing to Gideon. So what I want y'all to see here is that when you're being under attack, you've got to start trusting God. But in order for God to use you, you've got to clean up your house. Are you going to church on Sunday and everything's good, and then you go home and you do whatever you want to do? Or do you do just at home what you do out in public? You know what I'm saying? Boy, it got quiet in here in a hurry. I'm just bringing the message off. No. But I'm telling you, it's not easy. We all do it. God does us that way. And when we slip sometime, if you really listen to God, he'll bring you back to where you're supposed to be. You see? Clean up your house. Okay, let's flip over to verse 36 now. The story thickens. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Now, Gideon's setting up something right here. Gideon, you know, he tested to see if he was hearing from the angel of the Lord. But right here, Gideon understands that, but he's still not convinced after all this. And he's saying, okay, God, if this is really you, and you're going to use me, I'm going to put myself out there. I need to hear. You got to prove it to me. So Gideon tells him, I'm going to take this fleece and I'm going to put it on the ground. And in the morning, I want it to be wet, but everything else dry. So Gideon gets up in the morning, goes out there, picks up the fleece and squeezes out a bowl full of water. Now get this. Gideon says, God, hang on just a minute. Because I'm not sure if Gideon was really doubting or he was just like, oh, no, I'm fixing to get into something here. And Gideon says, God, don't be mad at me. But this time, I want the fleece to be dry and everything else to be wet. I just need one more time. Do y'all ever try to bargain with God like that? Huh? I mean, okay, God, I heard that, but wait a minute. Let's do it. Let's try this first. Got up the next morning, and guess what? It was just like he asked. Because when we ask God to show us, God will show us. The key is that we have to learn to know that that's God. We have to be able to be in tune with what God's telling us. But what's so awesome about that right there, about what Gideon's going through and he's testing God? Did God get mad? Did God go thump on the head and go, quit doing that? No. We have to remember, you know, a lot of times we ask for patience from God, but God's got so much patience with us. You know what? That's the next thing you can write down. Remember God's patience for us. Remember, he's got patience for us. Man, he wants to use us so bad that even when we mess up and we do stupid things, he's sitting there like this. Come here. Let me hug you. Are you willing to let him do that? Man, his patience is so good. It reminds me, I think I used this before one time last year or something, but it's the way that Gideon was doing. The older people my age that are older, Howdy's not old enough, but, well, he might be. There's a movie called Oh God that had George Burns in it. This is exactly, Gideon doing just what he's doing. That movie came to mind because when George Burns walks into the courtroom and his shoes are squeaking and he's got a fishing hat on and everybody's looking at him like, that can't be God. That can't be God. And he's saying, I got to get these shoes fixed. Why can't it be? You see? Gideon keeps going, are you really God? And he keeps showing him. We got to get out of that trap, y'all. We got to get out of that trap of, is it really from God? Well, you know if it's bad, it's not from God, right? That's right. Okay. If it's good, it's from God. So we're going to fast forward through chapter 7. Because Gideon's accepted the fact that he's going to be used. He's submitted to God. Ooh, remember that word. We submit to God. He submitted to God to let God use him. So Gideon gets his men together. And God goes, Gideon, that's too many. What? You know, because he's fixing to go into battle. God said, you got too many people. You need to let some of them go. Go ask them which ones are afraid. And the ones that raised their hand, tell them to go. So 20,000 men raised their hand and they left. He still wound up with over 10,000 men left. Gideon's feeling pretty good. Okay, we lost 20,000, but I still got a little over 10. God said, Gideon, still got too many. Put yourself in those shoes, y'all. It's like, what? No, God, I think we're good. We can do this. God says, no. God says, I'll weed them out for you. So they go down to a lake, God does a little test. God sends 10,000 more. Gideon's got 300 men left. But you know what? At this point, Gideon knows that God's with him. And we know that if God is with us, who can be against us? Right? Gideon knows that, hey, I got this. What happens is Gideon takes those 300 men and God tells him how to do it. He takes those 300 men and they have trumpets and they have pitchers. You know, those, I guess, clay pots. They call them pitchers. And not these selfies, you know, they don't work. And he has those pitchers and the trumpets. And he said, when I tell y'all to, you start blowing those, you bust those pitchers. God confused 120,000 men using 300 people. He confused those people and they killed each other. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that a mighty God we serve? He takes 300 men, and all they did was run around, blow a trumpet, breaking pitchers, and hollering. And God confuses 120,000 men who killed each other. Man, if that don't fire you up, I don't know what will. Man, that's a good God right there. And then guess what else? 15,000 more, they shucked it. We're out of here. We're gone. Number 6. And I'll start closing. Success is determined by God's hand, not yours. Success is determined by God's hand, not yours. Man, when we get a grasp, when you start turning things around and you start saying, man, I didn't do that, God did. Give credit. Give God credit. When you realize that I didn't do that, God did. When I play that fiddle, oh yeah, it's my hands, but God did it, not me. I allow the Holy Spirit to move. And it doesn't matter if I'm playing an old fiddle tune or I'm playing here in church on Sunday morning. I give God all the glory. So when we learn that, man, the road is endless. Do you trust God? I I read a quote and I wrote it down. It's by Ronald Reagan. There is no limit to what one can accomplish if you are willing to let someone else get the credit. Wow. You see, folks, we can be successful, but we've got to remember where it comes from. Who do you trust? Do you trust your boss at work, or do you trust the big boss? You see, when we start giving him the right kind of glory and honor, man, he just pours out the blessing on us. Do you know God today? Do you know Jesus? Do you know that Jesus died for us so that we can have eternal life? Man, with every head bowed and every eye closed,